All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Today we'll cover the next two verses in our study in verses 12 and 13. Entitled today's message, Enabled for Ministry, and really kind of gets to the heart of what we've been talking about. And today is not going to be anything new that you probably hadn't heard from me before, as we're looking at Paul and just talking about at the time that he's writing this, his presence and what he is doing in a sense far as being thankful to God, really giving a testimony of God enabling him to be able to minister the Word of God. But in verse 13, he also talks about his past and the things that he was doing before he was in Christ. And I think it's important that these two verses go hand in hand in what he's talking about, because so often we run into the fact that people think there's no way that God can use me because you just don't understand the things that I've done in my life. And again, I've talked about this before in just a number of messages, even in dealing with our vision message for this coming year and dealing with, again, being motivated for ministry. I've talked about these things, and again, I've talked and encouraged that it doesn't matter what your background is, no matter what you've done, even as a believer in Christ, if you stumbled, you've fallen, you're able to get back up. Just like in our scripture reading that we talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, God is able to use you. All right, it's not like it's a one and done. If you mess up, well, then you're just sidelined and won't ever be used again of God. No, it's a matter of learning from those things, understand, recognize what you've done against the Word of God to be able to correct those things, and get back right into the fight. And that's what the Lord wants. And so there's a number of things that we're going to look at today, but again, really it's nothing new. We've been coming through chapter 1, and we've seen the reason why Paul is writing to Timothy is for him to stay in Ephesus. And we talked about how it is a spiritual warfare in that city. I mean, it was not an easy place to be able to minister the Word of God, and that's where Timothy is. And so Paul's saying, I need you to stay there because there are some that are teaching other doctrine, not teaching the truth according to the gospel of grace. Matter of fact, they've turned aside to vain jangling, and they're trying to be teachers of the law, even though we're not under the law, we're under grace. And so last week we talked about those things, what the purpose of a law is, and really coming to the fact that that anything that's against sound doctrine, and I want you to actually look down in verse 11 where we left off last week, it says this, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And one of the things I said last week is not something that is just for the Apostle Paul that's been committed to the trust as far as the gospel of grace is concerned. Every one of us that has claimed Christ, that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that same gospel of grace has been committed unto us. And we are going to be held accountable for that. But just as God is, God never gives us something to do without preparing or equipping us to be able to do that job. All right. And so as we're talking about having the gospel committed to us, now we're at verses 12 and 13, and specifically verse 12, the word God is going to enable us to be able to do the job. God will never give us something to do that He doesn't equip us to be able to do that job and actually to work through us to be able to accomplish it. So really, we are without excuse. God is able to use us no matter what. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into what we need to see today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I've been looking forward to this message because it really hones in again on just the vision that You have laid on my heart for this year, that we'd be motivated to minister. And Lord, I pray as we look at this today and just seeing the enabling process and seeing the things that You want us to do, and again, our accountability, Lord, I pray that we would open up our hearts and minds to the truth of Your Word. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at in their walking relationship with You. Lord, I know that even myself, I continue to struggle in this. I've been involved in ministry since I've been saved, and I was 19 years old. And Lord, I know that there's times that I stumble and fall and don't do things right, don't say things right. Lord, we're something that we're in this together. And Lord, that we need You. And we need You today to understand what You're saying in Your Word and how it applies to our lives, individually and collectively as a church. And Lord, I pray that You would meet with us today. Much like You did as we studied last year in the book of Exodus and how You came down in a cloud and met with the nation of Israel and Moses and given them the Word of God. Well, we obviously don't expect that today in a sense, but we do know that You can come down and meet with us, that Your Spirit can take the Word of God and work it in our hearts, Lord. And I pray that we'd be open to the things that we need to see today, not to have any excuses, not to say, well, that message is good for somebody else or so-and-so needs to hear this. Lord, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. And Lord, and not just to let it go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, let it be real in our hearts and our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 12 and 13, and then we'll come back and start going through this. In verse 12 it says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And so Paul's going through it, and really he is giving a testimony of what God has done or is doing in his life at that time. And so he opens up in verse 12 and looking at really what's happening in that present time, it's like he is thankful to God that God enabled him. And before we even get into the depth of this, it's like, again, understand what he's saying there. It's not like Paul says that he enabled himself. And you got to remember, Paul had an incredible background, religiously speaking, as far as the Jews' religion is concerned. I mean, he was brought up at the feet of this guy named Gamaliel, that's mentioned in the book of Acts, who was a great scholar and understood the law. I mean, that was Paul's teacher. Paul was a Pharisee. That word Pharisee means the separated one. That was a sect of the Jews that their whole profession and life was about studying the Word of God or studying the law. I mean, and so he had an incredible, let's say, pedigree in a sense as far as being a Jew. I mean, even himself, another place in Scripture talks about he was a Jew of Jews. I mean, he came from the tribe of Benjamin, which had bragging rights to the first king of the nation of Israel as far as Saul is concerned. His name Saul is after the first name of the first king of Israel. All right, so incredible pedigree. But in all of that, Paul says here that it's not like he enabled himself. Oh, I got my education. I picked myself up by my bootstraps and did all this and came. No, he said, I thank Christ Jesus the Lord, that he is the one that enabled me. And that's the same fact that we need to understand today. It's not about us. It's not about what our background is or isn't. It's a matter of allowing God to enable us. I want you to look at a cross reference. I want you to go back to the book of Ephesians, just a few pages back to the left. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at a couple of references here where not only we're seeing where Paul says that God enabled him, but he made him a minister. Again, it's like it was God that did the things in Paul's life or Saul's life to be able to make him to the place where he's able to minister or serve him in the lives of other people. You look at Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to just pick it up in verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It's in the context of talking about and being able to get the gospel and minister to the Gentiles, which the body of Christ is largely made up of Gentiles and not Jews. But he says in verse 7, it says this, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Again, you see him ministering the truth of the Word of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But again, notice that he recognizes that it was God that made him a minister. It wasn't just he himself. God put him through the process of the things in his life to be able to make him a minister. I want you to see something else. I want you to go to the book of Colossians. So we're in Ephesians. So go to the right. We'll skip over Philippians and land right in Colossians chapter 1. And we're actually going to pick this up in verse 21. Colossians chapter 1. Let's pick it up in verse 21. We're going to read down through verse 25. We're going to see again twice in this passage where Paul repeats the same thing. I was made a minister. And we're going to see a little bit more detail of how that process or what God did in his life to make him a minister in a sense. In Colossians chapter 1, pick it up in verse 21, it says this, "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Paul is laying out the things, the context of this is where we were before we were in Christ. We were enemies, but yet we're reconciled through the body, through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the goal is to be presented unblameable before him. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, after the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the body of Christ, that we stand before the Lord and that we are unblameable, we're unreprovable, that we've done the things that we needed to do. He goes on and gives the condition of that happening, though. In verse 23, it says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That's something we talked about a few weeks ago, about not having a feigned faith or a fake faith, that we need to continue in that to be able to get to this place where we can stand before the Lord without being reproved, and again, to be blameless before Him. And so again, in verse 23, it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now notice the sentence doesn't stop there, right? So again, in understanding what God is doing, and doing through Paul as well, and talked about how he's made a minister. Now notice verse 24. I want you to understand this. In verse 24 it goes on, it says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Verse 24 is laying out for Paul of the sufferings that he goes through, and God giving him the gospel of grace and understanding that, and being able to give that out to the Gentiles, that he went through that suffering, again, for the sake of the doctrine, as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Again, and there's a lot more that goes into verse 24 to be talked about, but I want you to understand that he went through some sufferings, he went through some afflictions, and then in verse 25, what does he start out saying? "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." In other words, this is something that we don't like to really deal with or like to talk about, but how God made Paul a minister was through the sufferings and the circumstances of life that he went through. Dealing with the persecution of standing on truth. Alright? We suffer by just being on this planet at times because it's under sin. But what Paul allowed God to do was to take those things that he went through to be able to make him, to form him, to make him a better minister of the gospel of grace. One of the things, again, that we're majorly focusing on this year is being able to be, talk about motivated to minister, ministering the truth of the Word of God to people, especially when they're going through tough times. And we can take what we go through, the sufferings and the trials and the things that we go through, trust God in those things, allow God to grow us in those things, to be able to trust Him more so that we can do what? Turn around and minister, or that word serve, somebody else. To be able to give them the truth. Why? Because we can really say, it's like, hey, I've been through some issues. Maybe I haven't been through the same things that you're going through. But in this circumstance that God allowed me to go through, this is what He taught me. These are the words that He gave me out of His book, His Word, the Bible, to be able to help me in those times. And that same truth can help you through your suffering. A few years ago, we had a whole vision and direction on that. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And understanding that the comfort that we get in the trials and the tribulations that we go through, to be able to not only use that for our own situation, but to turn around and use that same comfort that God has given us to give to others. Ministry. Being made a minister. Do we think about that? Are we going through a trial and tribulation, something that is just not, and you think, man, this is a tough time that I'm going through. Do we stop to think that maybe God is allowing us to go through that, not only to trust Him more, to be able to really apply the truth of the Word of God more, but to be able to turn around and to be able to teach others? I mean, to stop and think and allow God to mold us, to make us, to be better equipped for the job He has given us to do. I know a lot of times when things go wrong, it's like it's like we start getting down and thinking, man, what did I do? Or you know, why am I going through this? How come things just can't work out smooth? Why does everything got to be a hassle and a fight and things like that? Why does it have to be hard or anything like that? A lot of times I say, I don't know much, but Arnold a few weeks ago, he did the work in putting our new dishwasher in for us and everything like that. And it's like, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy job by any stretch of the imagination. It took some work. It took him going back to the house, getting some other tools and things like that, and me doing my best to try to assist him and stuff like that. But it took some work, and a lot of times I'm thinking, why does it have to be hard? And sometimes I tell, because my last name is Boyce. That's why it's hard. Like there's some curse on the boy's name that things are going to be difficult or anything like that. I mean, that's what I kind of think about. No, wait a minute. Maybe it's tough because God wants to toughen me up to be able to mold me to be a better minister, to be able to minister to somebody else. A lot of times we think fleshly and we don't think eternal. And like, man, there's a reason why God is doing this in our life. So we see where Paul says, like, man, I've been made a minister. He uses that term 3 different times in 2 different books of his. And this one is dealing with the way of suffering, going through some troubles, to be able to be molded and made into a minister. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. A lot to cover here, even in verse 12. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." It was God that did the enabling. It was God that did the equipping. Various things in his life, obviously through the Word of God, that God enabled Paul to be in ministry. And the next phrase that he says, oh, this is important, "for that he," God, "counted me faithful." Now that's the next thing. God will enable you through the circumstances and things of your life, obviously through the Word of God. He's going to enable you to be able to minister to others, but there's that middle phrase there that we have in this verse that is such a key, because that comes down to us. And it's interesting that even in this, though, he says, he. Paul didn't say, oh, I was faithful. Even though he was. But he said that God counted him faithful. Is that the testimony of us today? That if God was to give a testimony of each and every one of us, would it be that, yes, Charles is faithful? Put your name there. Yes, they're faithful. And this is the preserved, inerrant Word of God. And it says there that Paul was faithful. That God counted Paul faithful. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Because in all of this, it's like, I want to get rid of the excuse of them saying, well, yeah, but this is what is done for Paul. This is what God did for Paul. Or this is what, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy, and Timothy is a pastor, so that has nothing to do with me. No, this is the Word of God for all of us believers in Christ. All right? And so, we're not just talking about Paul being faithful. What about us? Are we being faithful? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this. I'm going to look at verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says this, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. In verse 1, it talks about us being stewards of the mysteries of God. Again, that gets back to doctrine. There are 7 mysteries that we're going to be held accountable for. I dare say that a lot of Christians don't even know what those 7 mysteries are that are laid out. That's something that we teach around here. That's something that's in our doctrinal truth teaching that we have. That after discipleship, or one-on-one discipleship that we have the doctrinal truth, which we have not actually run a course of that yet. I'm waiting for the right time for that. You know, getting enough people have gone through discipleship, but that is something that we would do as a class and start going through. Now, I've given some of these things before, and we've talked about them before. Have questions about it, I'll be more than happy in our question and answer Bible study afterwards to lay out for you those 7 mysteries. But that's dealing with doctrine that we need to be grounded in. And just like I said earlier, as we've been coming through 1 Timothy, you can't properly minister to people the Word of God if you're not grounded in doctrine. All right? That's why Paul has Timothy to stay there. There's people that are going away, going aside from solid, sound doctrine. And it's like, you can't properly minister the truth of the Word of God to people if you're not grounded in sound doctrine. And that's why we have discipleship. That's why we have doctrinal truth. That's why I preach the way that I preach, verse by verse through Scripture. That's why we have the question and answer Bible study. That's why we do what we do on Wednesdays. We want you to know the Word of God, to grow in your relationship with Christ, so you're equipped to be able to do what God would have you to do. But the requiring of that is like what? That we're found faithful. Are we going to be faithful to the things that God has given us? All right, even Jesus Christ talks about, you know, if you're faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful in much. But if you're not faithful in that which is least, you will not be faithful in much. You think about it. Anybody that is a supervisor or a manager or something like that, and you're giving one of your employees something to do, if they're not faithful in doing that job, are you going to trust them with more? I hope not. That doesn't make any sense. But of course, we do live in a day and age where people fail up. I've seen it on my job, all right? To where somebody is absolutely not doing their job at where they're at in the position they are, so they end up what? Promoting him. And guess what? We have more problems with that person. And it's not a surprise. Well, they were not doing a good job doing this much. You're going to give them more responsibility and you expect them all of a sudden that they're going to do it well? No! Well, what about us as Christians? If we're not faithful to that which God has given us, is He going to enable and equip us to do more and give us a better, different, not say better, a different position, but more responsibility to minister to others if we haven't been faithful to what He's already given us? I want you to go over, we're in 1 Timothy, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is nothing new around here. Like I said, anything that I'm really preaching and teaching on today is really nothing new that I haven't talked about before. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to look down to verse 2. Again, this is like the key verse in dealing with discipleship. This would be the verse that is our foundational verse for discipleship. But I want you to notice something, what it says here. And again, I've made this point before, we're going to make it again today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, again, Paul still talking to Timothy, it says this, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now there's two things in that verse that really stand out to me right now. First of all, it teaches the same thing. Don't deviate, don't change the Word of God, don't change the doctrine, it needs to be the same. Alright? Don't corrupt it. Don't put your opinion in it. Don't think, well, now we live in this day and age and, you know, they didn't understand this back then, so we're going to change. No. The same. God's Word is true all the way through. It doesn't matter that it's 2023. It is still true. It doesn't matter what man thinks, how they change things and change definitions and so forth and so on. No. The same. Do not change. Do not water down. Do not corrupt it. Teach the same thing that I taught you. Because that's what the Lord taught me. Jesus, the Lord, gave the gospel of grace and that doctrine to Paul directly. And Paul communicated that to Timothy. And he wants Timothy to communicate it to who? This is the next thing that comes up in this verse. Faithful men. Of course, talk about women as well. All right? I mean, that's all of us as believers in Christ. That here's what I need you to teach, Timothy. I want you to teach the faithful. Now, this is where we've got to do some self-evaluation here. Are you faithful? Does God count you faithful? Because Paul was not telling Timothy to teach everybody, even though he is. I mean, he's the pastor of a church, so I'm sure he's preaching and teaching to everyone. But what he wants him to invest in is the faithful men. Why? Because the faithful men are going to do what? Teach another generation. They're going to teach others. Unfaithful people are not going to teach others. Unfaithful people are going to take what they hear and do nothing with it. They're not going to probably apply it to their life, and they're sure not going to be able to invest it in somebody else's life. But as believers in Christ, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to allow Him to enable us, and then the next step is on us, for sure, being faithful to what God teaches us. So that we can take what we have learned, apply it to our lives, and turn around and teach others. This is not a difficult concept. It's not hard. We have it in so many aspects of our life. You know, today, of course, especially if you're a Chiefs fan, we're all excited. I'm excited. I almost can barely contain myself. It's almost like the first time the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. It's not. I don't know why it is. I'm excited about it. I really am. But you think about it in sports. What do you have? How do people get to that level to where they are playing in the NFL or the MLB or NHL? You pick your sport on a professional level. How is it that they get there? They get there because why? They have a desire. Somebody teaches them. I don't think there's anybody on the Chiefs team that's necessarily to say, well, I'm self-taught. No, I didn't have any coaches. I didn't have anybody. I did this all on my own. I don't think so. Somebody taught them, but they were faithful to what they've been taught. Right? And I don't play sports. I'm not a sports person at all. So I don't have any personal experience to deal with this. The only thing I can say is my martial arts experience. I didn't get to where I was in the level that I am in martial arts because I did it myself. I had teachers teach me. I had instructors that instructed me. I had people that took time and sacrifice out of their life to be able to spend time with me to be able to get to the place that I have acquired in karate. I didn't become a 6th degree black belt overnight, nor did I become that because of my own intellect and what I thought. People, great people, taught me. But there's a key thing that had to be, what? Just like any sports, anything, it doesn't even have to be sports, it can be art, it can be music, I can talk to you on that level of that as well in my life, that sort of thing, it doesn't matter. You had to be faithful to it. You had to be faithful to the ones that taught you those things. If you're not faithful to it, then guess what? You're not going to go anywhere. I have a good friend of mine, one of my disciples that I had, who lives in Canada, just recently was talking to him this week just because he's a Chiefs. He's always been a Chiefs fan, which is strange. He's in Canada. Why would he be a Chiefs fan? He always just loved the Chiefs. I mean, one time we got him a jersey, and he said, I wasn't going to even open it up and wear it until the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. So I guess he did that a few years back, you know, that sort of thing. He loves the Chiefs. And he played football. But one of the things he said, he goes, I'm not really a natural talent. He had a brother that's like a natural talent. But he says, it's like, he made this a statement to him. It's like, you can have people that have natural talent that don't go anywhere. And then you have people that have mediocre talent, but they take what they learn, they work hard at it, and they actually become successful at it. And you see that truth in so many areas. You know, folks, here's the thing. You don't have to be a natural orator or speaker, or you're really good in just talking to people one-on-one, whatever you want to say. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a desire to take the things that God has worked in your life and to be faithful to it. And that's what God wants, and He'll be able to use you. Again, I'm doing everything I can to get rid of the excuses of why you can't trust God to serve Him. It's about being faithful to what God has given you to do. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. We see a progression here, don't we? Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, number one, who has enabled me. Paul allowed God to work in his life to enable him, to make him a minister. Through the circumstance of his life, obviously through the Word of God. Every circumstance in life, let's look at what the Word of God says, and that's how God made Paul a minister. And that's the same process that He wants to do with us today. The next thing is being counted faithful. Are we faithful to what God has given us or not? That's a question that you got to ask. And if you haven't been, let's make today the first day by being faithful to what you're hearing today, what's being laid out in the Word of God today, and start doing something with it. And then he says, putting me into the ministry. Number one, allow God to enable you. Number two, be faithful to the things that God shows you. And then number three, it's going to happen. You'll be put in the ministry. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to be the pastor. It doesn't mean that you have to be a missionary somewhere. It doesn't mean that you're some professional Christian, blah, blah, blah. No, it has nothing to do with that. It means that God is ready to use you in the lives of the people around you. That's simply what we're talking about. That's it. Again, try to stress over and over again. It doesn't mean that you have to do what I'm doing on a Sunday morning. All right? Not saying that God can't use you for that. Not saying that God can or won't use you to be a missionary somewhere. I have no idea what God has planned in your life. But the point is just being faithful to taking what God has given you, and you're ready to share it with those around you. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whatever it is, that you're ready to do that. Folks, and with our technology today, man, we have no excuse. I'm still able to minister to people in Canada living in Kansas. Because we have this great thing called a cell phone. Man, I got the Word of God. I said I'd use it as a prop, but it's being used right now for Facebook. I've got the Word of God on my phone. I got the contact with people that I'm able to contact with. I'm able to share truth right here, right there. Can you imagine if Paul had that kind of technology in his day? What he would be able to do? You ever sit and think about that? I mean, he's writing letters that had to be, hand-delivered. over hundreds and hundreds of miles. Imagine if Paul had our technology today and what he would be doing. Sorry about that. We had that. Yet what are we doing with it? Again, it's always great face-to-face contact, yeah, but I can't just be in Canada and still be here at the same time. I can't do that. But what I can do is the people that have a relationship, I can invest the truth of the Word of God with them by simply and as easy as I have my devotion, I share it with my wife, I share it with my son, and I can take that same devotion, don't even have to come up with anything different, I share it with a guy that I'm dealing with named Mike in Canada. And though he's sharing the truth with others in Canada, I can still have an impact in Canada from Kansas through my phone. It's just a matter of if we want to do it or not. It's just a matter of if we want to do it. We continue on. Putting me into the ministry. These are verses we've already looked at when I gave the vision verse for 2023, but I'm going to remind you. First and foremost, let's go back to Colossians chapter 4. Let's go back to Colossians, this time chapter 4 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, writing, laying things out, again, is another good book that we can talk about as far as dealing with ministry and so forth. And he really, next to the last verse of this book, he mentions this guy, Archippus, and he tells him, gives him a charge of what he needs to do. In Colossians chapter, like I said, chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Take heed to it. You have a ministry. God has given you a ministry, Archippus. Take heed to it. And fulfill it. Complete it. Now, I may be wrong, but I haven't found anywhere in Scripture that Archippus is a pastor. I haven't found anywhere in Scripture that Archippus is necessarily, in the sense of maybe a missionary. My point is this. Archippus is a believer in Christ. And as I said earlier, it's not a matter of like, well, Paul's just talking to Timothy, who's a pastor, so this doesn't really apply to me because I'm not a pastor. Archippus is a believer in Christ. And God has given him a ministry. And Paul tells Archippus, or he tells Colossians to tell Archippus, he needs to take heed to that ministry that he's received of the Lord and fulfill it. Every one of us, I trust, are believers in Christ. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior at some point in time. You understand that He died on the cross for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. So, you know, trusting that you accepted Him, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you confess Him as Lord with your mouth, as it says in Romans 10:9, and that you are Christian. So if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not trying to go to eternity on works or anything like that, or some man's religion. You have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, in a sense, you are Archippus. We are all Archippus. We are Christian. And that means, just like God has given Archippus a ministry, He's given us a ministry. Your family is your ministry. Your job is your ministry. Maybe that's something that you volunteer for, some organization that can be a ministry. Man, I learned that big time in Canada. A lot of my ministry opportunities came from volunteering in a community. You have a ministry. Are we going to take heed to it? Allow God to enable us, be faithful to what He's done for us, allow Him to put us in ministry that we take heed to it. Or should we do something with it? And then the next thing we see is go back to 2 Timothy again. I want you to look at 2 Timothy again in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and down in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And this is in a context Paul was telling Timothy where people do not want to hear the truth of the Word of God anymore. That's the day and age that we live in. It's not a great climate, in a sense, spiritually, to be standing on truth and preaching the truth of the Word of God. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our context of the environment that we're in. Paul tells Timothy this in verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. "But watch thou in all things..." Next thing he says is endure afflictions. Again, you're not going to live for the Lord standing on sound doctrine in this day and age without going through afflictions. You're going to go through some tough times. That's the way it is. And sometimes it's like you're just going to have to endure it. It says endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, You know, think about an evangelist, somebody that's specifically preaching the good news, the gospel. So do the work of that. We don't have an office of an evangelist, doctrinally speaking, but it says do the work of an evangelist. But then it says, make full proof of thy ministry. Notice thy ministry, your ministry, Timothy. And for him, at this time, it's in the city of Ephesus. That was what a place that Timothy invested in. Same place that he died in, standing on truth. He was martyred there. He stayed all right and stood for truth, even to the place that it cost him his life. But he did what God wanted him to do. What about us? Are we going to take heed to the ministry? And are we going to fulfill it? Are we going to make full proof of it? Giving it your all. That's one of my personal visions and directions for me this year. In light of what we're doing as a church, it's like, how can I make full proof of the things that God has given me? Being involved in law enforcement. Being a pastor. I have been a police chaplain at my old department in Marion. I want to see and do more of that within this area and with the agency that I'm in now. So I'm looking for opportunities to have more training in police chaplaincy as well as critical debris. So if there's a tragic situation that happens, and to be able to minister to my fellow officers of the law. To make full proof of something and not just like, okay, yeah, I'm involved in law enforcement. Yeah, and I'm a pastor, and not think, hey, can those two things kind of go together and do something? Try to make full proof of it. What about you? You're a believer in Christ? You have your job if you're working. How can maybe you minister there? Do a little bit more. Again, you got to deal with the parameters of your agency or your company or whatever, but how can maybe God has a specific ministry for you there? Have you ever thought about that? Well, maybe I'm sparking some thoughts and some things that you need to pray about and search the Word of God about. But to make full proof and what? Full proof. The everything that you can of that. And then let's go to the last reference, which is our vision verse for this year. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, and then we need to move on and cover our next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, down in verse 15, talking about the house of Stephanus. Paul wants the Corinthians to spend time with them because, why? They've addicted themselves to the ministry. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, down in verse 15, it says this, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I want you to think about that. You can obviously preach a whole message on that at the end of last year and preparing for 2023. Talk a lot about being addicted to ministry. The only time the word addicted is even used in the Bible. And that word is associated in the context of ministry. This is ministry of the saints. I want you to think about this. It doesn't say ministry to the lost. Yes, we need to reach the lost with the saving gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says that they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Saints are not, as you would think about it, in religious terms and how, you know, you can only be a saint if you're part of a certain church and that you have to have a record of 3 miracles and so forth and all this other stuff. No. In the Bible, a saint is somebody who is a believer in Christ specifically as far as our doctrine is concerned. That's the saint. You accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Guess what? You are a saint. We have Saint Trish. We have Saint Carol. We have Saint Arnold. We have Saint Dave. We have Saint. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a saint. And what the house of Stephanus did, they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Why? Because they came through that process of allowing God to enable them to be able to see that they were faithful. Obviously, they were faithful, just by what is even said here. And they were put in the ministry, and they loved it so much that they were addicted to it, and specifically the ministry of the saints. They were ministering to other believers in Christ.
And we live in a day and age, and I don't have time, and I don't want to get off on this too much, but all right, we have imbalance in the church to where we think about, well, we just need to reach the lost. We just need to reach the lost. And that's why pastors, every message they preach on a Sunday is sinners need to get saved. And I'm not going against that. Obviously, lost people need to get saved. But the church is for believers and not for sinners. It's not for the lost. When we leave this place, our job, yeah, is to live a life to where we're a light to the dark world that hopefully we can reach some lost people for Christ, but then what do we need to do? Have them come to church. Get equipped to grow in their relationship with Christ. That is the purpose of the church. But we live in a day and age where we have where churches, all they're focused on, we need to reach the lost, we need to reach the lost. And we're not ministering to the saints. You guys know me. Imagine if every Sunday I came in here and preached that you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. What would that do for your growth? It's like, Charles, I know this. I've done this. Is there anything more? Yeah, a whole lot more. Paul spends way more time talking about what we need to be doing as believers and how we need to grow and apply the Word of God than he does talking about reaching the lost. If we were to have a competition between verses of Paul, you know, and like, you know, talking about reaching lost people as opposed to the saved, I wouldn't worry about that competition. I wouldn't worry about it. Alright? You know, I shouldn't say this. I know people talk about the Super Bowl and they want it to be a close, exciting game. I don't. I want the Chiefs to blow them out. As much as Paul has verses about ministering to the saints as opposed to the lost, okay, I need to get back to the eternal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. My point is with this, though, it's not about just me as a pastor ministering the Word of God to you. Yes, that's my position that God has so privileged and graciously given me to be able to do. But I also need you to minister to me. That's why we do what we do on Wednesdays. That is a time to where, again, and the things that we do, that you're able to take your relationship with the Lord, your time in the Word of God, and to be able to edify other believers. You see, the house of Stephanus, they were addicted to ministry. And not just reaching lost people. I mean, it says there, they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. How can I minister? Right? Folks, I need your relationship with the Lord and the Word of God as much as hopefully you need my relationship with the Lord and the Word of God and giving it to you. Alright, and that's what I'm talking about. And it's like, when we talk about this vision that we have for this year, I'm imploring you to decide. Allow God to enable you. Be faithful to what He shows you in your life through the Word of God. Be faithful to those things. Allow Him to understand that He has a ministry for you. And that ministry, for a large part, is going to be what? To other saints. There are times, folks, that I go through tough times, all right? I go through times that I wonder, and I'm like, man, Lord, what are you doing? And you know what? That you're able to take something in your relationship, your walk with the Lord, and hey, Charles, hey, this is something that I just read, and it really, I think it might be able to help you in this situation. Yeah, thank you. I needed that. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy. Spend a lot of time on that, but we need to move on. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll read from verse 12 into verse 13. Hopefully we've gotten rid of any excuses or any doubts in the sense of like, God's not going to equip you to do the ministry that He has for you. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So we cover Paul's present at the time that he's writing this to Timothy. Let's look at his past, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor. And injurious. That word injurious means that he caused injury. It says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now let's back up. Let's look at these three things here in verse 13 again. It says,
who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. We're going to take a little brief walk through history and Paul when he was Saul and the times that he was exactly that. Blasphemer, somebody that speaks evil against God and His Word. You know, obviously persecutor, going after people. He went after people that followed the Lord in the way. Again, the doctrine at the time, that was the gospel of the kingdom that was being laid out by Peter, Paul, and James, or Peter, James, and John, excuse me there. Injuries. Again, causing injury. I want you to see a little bit more of Paul's testimony. And if you have in your mind that there's no way that God can use me because of the things that I've done in my past, I don't think you did what Saul did before he was in Christ. Maybe you did, and if you did, God's still able to use you. I want you to go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. Again, before he was Paul, he was Saul. I want you to look at Acts chapter 7, and we're just going to look at verse 58 in this chapter. But the context is dealing with Stephen, part of the church at Jerusalem, and he's preaching, he's laying out to the Jews, to the Pharisees and so forth about, again, dealing with Moses and their whole history and bringing everything to Christ, and they didn't want to hear it, and so they took Stephen without the city and stoned him to death. And in verse 58 it says this, Acts 7:58, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen, and he was taking care of those who were stoning Stephen, taking care of their stuff. And so he is part of what's going on. All right. In the day, and you know, the trial, these people got brought up on murder charges of Stephen. Saul would be right there because he's part of the conspiracy. He's part there. He didn't do anything to try to stop it. He was in agreement with it. Took care of the clothing of the people that were stoning Stephen to death. Let's jump down to chapter 8 in the first three verses. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." You follow this way, you follow Jesus, you're going to prison. He made havoc of the church. This wasn't some guy that was just no real big deal. People feared Saul because of his zeal in trying to stop what the Lord was doing through the apostles. Let's go over to chapter 9. This is the famous Damascus Road. We're not covering all this chapter or anything like that, but I just want to look at the first two verses. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter." You know what slaughter? It's a rock group. I don't know it's coming to the casino to play at. I don't even know what they are. But you know what slaughter is. He's threatening to kill people. Talk about making havoc of the church. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. You follow Jesus, I'm going to kill you. Slaughter. And I know he said it just like that. Kill you, just in Hebrew. He goes on in verse 2. It says, "And desired of him letters." All right, let me finish verse 1 because I didn't finish that. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. And if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." This man's going all the way up to Damascus, Syria. An authority of the high priest. If he found any men or women that were disciples of the Lord, he was going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem. He was serious. But of course, later in this chapter, He confronts the Lord and he is saved 100% by grace. Got another reference for you before we move on. I want you to go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. After 2 Corinthians, so we had our scripture reading in, you have the book of Galatians. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1, down to verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says this. Paul's own testimony says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." That word conversation, remember, is not just what you say, it's what you do. He's talking about how he lived. It says, "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." So as we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, when Paul talks about he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, now you know exactly what he was like. This is a man that thought nothing of killing people that were following the Lord. Putting them in prison, threatening them, slaughter, wasted it, made havoc of it. That's who Paul was before he was in Christ. So if you're sitting there thinking that there's no way that God could ever use me, you don't understand what I've done. Yeah? Solomon used that excuse. You look at 1 Timothy 1:13. He was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But, such a great word in Scripture. Contrast. It doesn't matter what you've done before. But I attained mercy. You know this by now. We've already talked about this at the beginning of 1 Timothy. We started in the beginning of January. Mercy is you not getting the punishment that you deserve. Grace is getting a gift that you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting the punishment that you deserve. Paul says, "But I obtained mercy." And why? Because I did it ignorantly. Ignorantly, and we use that as a slam today and saying, "You're just ignorant." And especially if you really want to dog somebody. You don't even say ignorant. Pronounce the whole word. You're ignorant. You're really bad. That's how ignorant simply means you don't know. You don't know. Paul did not know. Remember, we saw in Galatians chapter 1 that he was zealous as far as the religion, as far as the Jews is concerned. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was in line with the Word of God and what God wanted. These people that are following the Lord, they're following Jesus, they're out to lunch, they're doing what's wrong, and they were worthy of these things. But he was ignorant. He did not know. So the Lord showed up to him in Acts chapter 9 later and showed him exactly, "Hey, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the bricks? Why are you fighting against this?" And then Saul was like, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He did it ignorantly in unbelief. He received God's mercy. We've talked about this before, but I just want you to go to one more reference here. I want you to go to Titus in chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. We're going to read down through verse 8. I know a little bit more lengthy of a cross-reference, but I want you to get the full context of what I'm talking about to where, again, it does not matter what you have done. When you're confronted with the truth of the Word of God, I mean, accept it and allow God to make and mold you and to minister. Be faithful to the things that He has given you to do so that you're able to minister for Him. In Titus chapter 3 and verse, I said it's going to start in verse 4. I'll start in verse 3. So Titus chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I dare say every one of us can fit ourselves in that list, some way, somehow. And here's that word again, verse 4, but. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And the reason why I want to read all the way down through verse 8, because I want you to see why God has given you mercy. Because He has good works for you that will be profitable to other people. And just like God used Saul, no matter how bad his background was, people feared him that followed the way. Feared him. Even though when he got saved, they barely even believed it. Are you sure? Are you sure about this? I mean, Lord, you sure about... I mean, because, you know what he did? He did some things, you know. I don't want to say that loud. Doesn't matter your background, folks. Today's message summed up like this. Allow God to enable you. Allow God to make you a minister. Be faithful to the things that He has given you. In His Word, be faithful to it. And He will put you in a ministry. He will give you a ministry. You have a ministry. And I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. I'm getting it down to my life as well. But there's people in your life that He wants you to minister to. And one of the biggest things is what? Ministering to other believers. Yes, He wants us to reach the lost, to see them saved. But after that point, it's to do what with them? Minister to them. Help them to be able to grow. We make a mistake as Christians that we see somebody saved and then that's it. Let's go on to the next person. They're a babe in Christ. They don't know how to walk with the Lord. Teach them. Help them grow. Invest in their life. Minister to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. Two verses, and there's so much in it. So much, so much, so much. Lord, my prayer is that, again, that we would take it to heart. That this message would be something that would motivate us to minister. To not kick and scream, but allow You to enable us. Lord, and help us be faithful. Yes, there's going to be afflictions. Yes, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be things that we have to deal with. But Lord, You're there with us through it all. Lord, I'm really trusting and praying that this year, that our lives would make a difference in the lives of others. Our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who do not know the Lord, share with them how they can have a relationship with You. To those brothers and sisters in Christ that are out of fellowship and they're not walking with You, Lord, help us have those open doors and opportunities to minister to them, to show them how they can get back in a right relationship with You, so they can also be used of You. Lord, it is my desire, not just for myself, but everyone that will hear this message, that they can look back on 2023, and when it comes to the next year, or even if we don't have this whole year, and then You call us home, or the rapture happens, that until that time that we meet with You, that we can look back over the space of these last months or this year, and whatever, however long You've given us, and to be able to see and name off a number of people that we were able to minister to, that we allowed You to work through our lives to minister to others. That it would be name upon name upon name upon name. Why? To get Your Word out there, because it's Your Word that's going to bear fruit in people's lives. has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do whether we're our intellect or our abilities or don't have any. It's a matter of us. Lord, help us to be faithful to the things that you've given us, the things that we understand in your word, and to be able to share that with others. Lord, I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.